In starting tonight, we've already had a little bit of dialogue, a little conversation. So in starting tonight, let's take a moment and let's open up with prayer and be mindful of the things that need to be said and the things that we need to receive in our minds and our hearts to become the sons of God. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the time that we share tonight in the Word of God. That time shared that is the time that you have given to us, granted unto us, to where the Word can feed us and bringeth forth as the sons of God, where it nourishes us up in the food from heaven, the manna from heaven, the true manna, Lord, that you have given us in Christ Jesus, and that it will do what you sent it to accomplish, and it will bring forth, and the fruit that we have in our lives will be the Word of God, and it will be the Word of God in truth, not a word that's deceived or not a word that's misdirected, and it will be the gospel of Jesus and not another gospel. Lord, we thank you for this tonight. We praise your precious name. Amen. So tonight, if you would turn with me to Hebrews 1 again, this is where we were Sunday morning, but I'm going to read it again like we read it Sunday morning, because, and I want you to gain some ground in understanding tonight as I read it, because it becomes very important that if we're not seeing Jesus in the conversation of the Word of God, then we're missing it. We are missing it, because Jesus is the Father. And we could go to Isaiah 9 and 6, and in fact, let me just go there quickly and read it. And we can go to Isaiah 7 and read the exact same thing. And it says this, and I could read this whole chapter, but we'll just read the portion that focuses in on what needs to be said tonight. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. So the government of God is who? It's Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the government of God, we're talking about the government of angels. We're talking about the government of the sanctuary. We're talking about everything that is God is Jesus Christ. Everything. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. So every time the Word of God comes to anyone, it's an increase of Jesus. Did you hear me? It's an increase of Jesus. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So it is God's will, it is God's mind to perform the unity of the faith in his sons, that they all understand his will, that they all understand his desire, because we come out of him. So there is nothing of God that did not come out of God. So if I look at even in Genesis, the first chapter, and God spoke his word, right? When God speaks his word, what happens in it? It creates. And it creates heaven and it creates earth. And when he speaks his word, the word goes into the darkness and that separation takes place. So I know for a fact that in my mind, before I knew Jesus, my mind was dark. It was ignorant of the ways of God. But when the light of the Word of God came into my mind, the separation took place. And the mind was divided between light and dark. The best part is it was both light and dark. It was both good and evil, right? For God says, I create good and I create evil. Why does God create evil? It's so that we will understand it, know it, turn from it, and learn how to overcome it. It's not so that we give our life to it. It's so that we learn how to overcome it, so that the Lord himself will put it under our feet. and we will be overcomers in the name of Jesus Christ. And so it's very apparent that when I believe the Word of God, now the Word of God has purpose, it has a will, and it already knows what it is to perform when, as soon as God speaks it. So when God speaks it into you, or actually God spoke it into you when? When did He speak it into you? From the beginning. So when even the angels that fell, even the angels that were cast out of heaven by the tail of the dragon in the book of Revelation, did they know the Word of God? Did they know the purpose and the will of God? Absolutely they did. They did know it. But what happened in their mind is they listened to a deceiver. They listened to another gospel, and his name was Lucifer. And he fooled them. He tricked them. And because he believed in his mind that he could become as God, sit on the throne as God, and take the kingdom as his own. That's what he believed in his mind. And God showed him real fast that that was not so. Not possible. Not possible. It's only the true Word of God that will reign forever and ever. Are we thankful for that tonight? I know that I am. I'm very thankful for it. So as we turn now to Hebrews 1:1, I'm going to read it in Jesus. And it's going to be important that we allow the mind to receive it that way. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by Jesus, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by also Jesus made the worlds. Who made the worlds? Jesus did. Jesus did. He's the Word of God. He was in the Father, and he proceeds out of the Father. Every time the Father opens his mouth to speak, he speaks Jesus Christ. Amen? Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, who being in the brightness of Jesus' glory and in the express image of Jesus' person, and upholding all things by the word of Jesus' power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So who is capable of purging our sins? Who did God vest that authority in? He invested it in Jesus. So, for unto us a son is given, correct? And who is the son that was given? It was Jesus. So, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and he spoke the word of God into her, right? Spoke the seed. And we know from Luke 8:11, correct, that the seed is what? The Word of God. So when Gabriel spoke the seed or the Word of God into Mary that she was going to have a son, who was this Gabriel? Where did he come out of? Where was he from? Yeah, he came out of Jesus. He came out of Jesus. And can Jesus create Jesus? I'm going to tell you this. Only Jesus can create Jesus. No one else can do it. Only the Word of God can create the Word of God. It's not possible for man to create it in any way, shape, or form. Angels can't even create it. Angels have to receive it from Him. Very important to understand, and we're going to see it even as we go further into it. Being made so much better than the angels. So, is Jesus better than the angels? Yes. That's why we worship Him and Him only. As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. How many names are under heaven? One, the name of Jesus. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? None. Only Jesus is the Son of God. Well, then how do I become a son? I believe the Word of God. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I am in that believing and in committing myself to it, I become one with Him in it. In other words, I take on Christ. And that is so important for us to understand. So in the conference then, Dan brought Micah up, right? And Dan took on the role of Jesus. Micah took on the role of what? You, right? He was a receiver of the Word of God. He was a believer. And as Micah stood before the Lord and the Lord spoke into Micah, the Word of God, all of a sudden, what happened to Micah? He faded away. Who was left? Jesus. Only Jesus. It's the same for us in our salvation. The more we receive the Word of God, the more we, as we know ourselves, fades away. Our mind becomes less and less of our own because our mind becomes more and more of Him. It's awesome. So all of a sudden then, as I'm walking in the truth, all of a sudden I see the change taking place. I begin to know that the mind of Christ is now in me. And I don't think like I thought anymore. I think differently. I think bigger. My mind's been trained. My mind has been overcome by the power of God. And now I know how to worship in spirit and in truth, not in the reasoning of my own mind. This is the translation that must take place in all of us. So I've quoted Sunday morning, and I also quoted at the conference the scripture in Romans 12, 1 and 2, because it so becomes so applicable to all of us who believe, and that is, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not your physical body. It's the embodiment of the mind of thought that is in you. You're presenting it to God as a living sacrifice. In other words, you're saying to God, you're in repentance, you're saying, if I'm repenting, I'm saying that, Lord, I have all these thoughts that are not you. Please accept my repentance and let the thoughts that are you come forth in my mind and make them you. Convert them. So you become that living sacrifice. So now you've put your will, your mind on the table. And you're praying that God will make them new. He will convert them all, which is what that's what his plan for you anyway. That you make yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. So I have no service unto God except to become that living sacrifice. So if I become that living sacrifice, then am I ascribing my life to what I see in Jesus Christ? Was Jesus that living sacrifice? Yes. So now I'm taking on, in that repentance and in that mindset, I'm taking on the purpose of God. And here's the part that Jesus, that I love about the Lord, and if we went into the sixth chapter of John, maybe we will tonight before we finish. In the sixth chapter of John, Jesus said time and time again, I come to do the will of him that sent me. And what was the will? It was the resurrection, to raise you up at the last day. That's awesome. So Jesus, in the sixth chapter of the book of John, already knew the plan of God was the power of the resurrection. And that plan for you was to come forth in the power of Jesus' resurrection. That's what he knew. So did he have to go to the cross to take away the sins of the world? Because if he died, what did he know would happen? He would be resurrected. That's what he knew. There was nothing by chance in his mind when it came to, well, will the Father resurrect me or not? That was never a part of the thought. He was already immersed in it. He already knew the will of God when he was sent. He knew exactly what he was being sent to perform. And he knew that when he took on the sins of the world and was crucified to take away that sin, that the world would be resurrected. So we can look at some things tonight, and maybe we'll have time to do it. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than thy. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, and when he brings Jesus into the world, and let all the angels of God do what? Worship Jesus. So who are you? You have been told you're an angel, right? So who are you going to worship? You're going to worship Jesus. You're going to worship Jesus. Let all the angels of God worship Jesus. What is an angel? Okay, it's a ministering spirit. A special, they're called ministering spirits in one scripture or two scriptures, and they're called special messengers in other scriptures. Absolutely. So, can an angel be an angel and not have a sent word of God? No. It's not possible. It is not possible. So the only way you can know yourself in God is to know what? Yeah, you got to know the word that you are that forms the angel that you are. You have to know it. Correct. So John's question or John's statement was, if you're the angel with the everlasting gospel, you have to be sent with a word that created that angel with that purpose. And that's very true. Because without the word of God, there is no angel. You are. And you've been told that for a long time, that you have a word in you from the Father. And so the reason the Father's after you is, where does that word belong? Does it belong in the earth or does it belong in him? It belongs in him. So when the sons of God went into the daughters of men and fornicated, right? There was a great misuse of the word of God. So that the angels that fell, they went into the daughters of men, went into the thoughts of men, fornicated the word of God, and what did it bring forth? Did it bring forth sons of God, or did it bring forth giants? Men of renown that knew not God. That's what it brought forth. You cannot take a word from God, put it into your own reasoning, and create God. You can't do it. And yet, that's in religion, that's what we try to do. And then all of a sudden, as we continue to try to do it, it creates these giants of thought in our minds. And then when the truth shows up, and all of a sudden we see what we have done, man, I'm telling you, we have created such a system of religion, such a system of antichrist in our minds because of fornicating the word of God in our own reasoning, that to overcome it, it's like we like ask ourselves the question, well, I don't think it's possible. I can't do this. And we, you know what we do a lot of times in the end of it? Is that we resign ourselves to the comfortableness that, okay, I see what they're saying, I see what needs to take place, but as for me, I kind of like this God thing I got going, and I'm going to stay in it. And we err. We err in the Word of God. We err in who God is. In fact, we are telling God that what we have created ourselves is better than the creation of God. We do miss our day of visitation. That's why Jesus cried over Jerusalem, right? When he looked down from the brow of the hill, he looked over Jerusalem, and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you have missed your day of visitation. I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not heed my word. You would not heed my word. You would not receive me as the one eternal God. That doesn't say that, but that's what Jesus is basically praying over Jerusalem. And so it becomes with all certainty that we cannot deny the Godhead of Jesus Christ. We cannot do it. Because if we do it, we deny God. And we will fornicate the Word of God, and we will create a mess. Mankind is really good at creating a mess. And we see the evidences more and more of it today. You know, it's amazing. And I've said this before. When I was in my 20s, I would look at the world, and then, of course, you would see immorality and those things. But the thought pattern in it in your 20s is not the same as the thought pattern in it when you're in your 60s, 70s, or 80s. And the reason for that is that you don't have any experience within yourself when it comes to the word of truth to draw from when it comes to understanding the judgment that God has put before you in the mind. And so, a lot of things that were going on in my life back then in the 60s and 70s, you were just like, well, that's cool. That's pretty awesome. But they weren't. They were a seedbed for the manifestations that we deal with today in our lives. And so we understand those things better today. So the manifestations that we see today, we think, oh my God, it's never been this bad. No, that's not true. It's always been this bad. If you're not in Christ, it's bad. We just have a greater word in us today where the magnitude of the separation between that which is good and evil within, we see it in a broader term or a broader sense of understanding. And so it's not worse today. It's just our understanding is in a different place to see it as being worse today. But I can tell you the things that we saw with the Vietnam War and all the protests and Make Love Not War movement and all that stuff. I look at the drug problem back then. It was horrific. It's the same today. We're not experiencing, evil is evil. Darkness is darkness. And the voices in it have not changed. They're the same. It's just that we have had many experiences in our life up to this point that has caused the Word of God to rule in us in a greater way. So our perception of it then has changed. That's what's changed. Evil hasn't changed. It's still evil. God hasn't changed. He's still God. But God in us has changed us to be able to perceive evil as being evil. Now, that's a good thing to understand. Very important, too. Okay, let me go on. And of the angels, Jesus said, Jesus, who makes his angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire. So an angel is a sent word of God, and it came out of the mouth of the Father. In other words, God creates the angels. God creates the word that they are. He sends them to the heirs of salvation. He sends them so that they can go and rescue in the name of Jesus. When Jesus was taken into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost, and he confronted Satan, and he put Satan under his feet, who came to minister to Jesus? The angels. I mean, God sent the word unto him. And it was that word that became his power, his strength, and his glory. And it scared the hell out of Satan. That's a true statement, because from that day on, Satan could not come against him. There was no way. Satan has no power but by the word of God. So when Judas sat at the table with the 12, right? And he betrayed the Lord, right? Before he betrayed the Lord, what did Jesus tell him? Go do what thou must do. And an evil spirit entered into Judas in that hour. And he betrayed the Lord. So was what Judas did, was it purposed of God? And when was it purposed in God? From the beginning. It's the story of God unfolding in your very eyes and in your very being. I would never be a Judas. Well, by saying that, you already are. And it's good for us to understand that. I remember saying years and years and years ago when I was at Christ New Covenant Church and growing up in the Word of God, and I was sitting there thinking in my mind, I didn't say it out loud, I was thinking in my mind, well, knowing what I know in the Word of God today, I would have never crucified the Lord. I'll tell you this, I would never say that ever again today. We know every one of us have done it. It's the story of God. There is not one person who has received the Word of God and not crucified it and put it to an open shame. Not one. Not one. Yes. God did have, even though Judas, was Judas an apostle? Was Judas an apostle? Was he a disciple? Was in Matthew chapter 10, did Jesus call them apostles? Was Judas counted in the number? But what was Judas amongst them? He was a thief and a robber, right? And so, how come the apostles, as long as Judas was counted in their number, how come they could never perform the miracles of God? How come they couldn't heal? How come they couldn't? Because there was a thief and a robber in their midst, in their mind. They didn't know. They didn't understand. Right? Neither do you. You have a thief and a robber in you. You have a Judas in you. And it has to be made manifest. Jesus has to reveal what it is in you. And when he reveals it, this is the power of God in it. When he reveals it and you repent from it, all of a sudden now you can receive the Holy Ghost. But until that man of sin is revealed in you, you can walk with God, talk with God, pray. You can do all those things that were required of the disciples, but they couldn't receive the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus had to be crucified. And when Jesus was crucified, was the man of sin taken out of the way? So that they could now receive the promise of the Father. They could now receive the Holy Ghost and fulfill the works of God. That's pretty awesome. That's powerful stuff right there. And a lot of times we say to ourselves, well, I'm not that. I'm not that. Well, the only reason you say that is because you think you can't do evil when you're already doing the very works of evil by saying that I'm not that person, or I can't. That would be the bottom line. We'd be saying to ourselves, I don't need Jesus. And so it's important that we resign ourselves in our minds. We make our minds that living sacrifice so that we be not conformed to this world, but we be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
So if
my mind's being transformed, being renewed, how's that taking place? By the Word of God. I'm beginning to know the Word that I am in the Father. And His love now is being made perfect in one. Because now I'm not seeing myself just as myself anymore. I'm seeing myself as I know myself in Jesus Christ. That we might be made perfect in one. John 17. Let's go on. Well, what is a commandment? It's a word of God, right? Okay, so let's just take Adam for a moment. Adam received a commandment. What was it? Yeah, but what word did he receive? Don't eat of the tree, right? So if Adam would have obeyed the commandment and walked in Jesus and not eaten of the tree, would he have fallen into sin? No. Was that the plan of God? No. Hear me. God gave him a commandment, knowing that he would fall. Imagine that. Take him back home again. Right on. What's the commandment that Jesus gave the disciples? Well, that's one of them. Didn't he also give them a commandment to love one another, even as I have loved you? Yes, that's paradise, John. Yes, it is. Darn it. So, I mean, what we're talking about tonight is very, very important to all of us. These are things that we haven't understood and things that we have looked past when it comes to serving Jesus Christ, knowing the Christ within. And we want to know Jesus Christ within, because if we don't know him within, we will miss Jesus Christ. Everybody with me in that? So who can create Jesus? Only Jesus can create Jesus. Not an angel. An angel is a sent word that came out of the mouth of God. They have only the power they get from God. That's it. If they try to create their own power, which is what Lucifer did, what happened to them? They got cast out. And when they got cast out into the earth, right? So now God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the earth or into the world to rescue who? Those angels that fell, which have wanted you. When we think that we are something that we are not, we are deceived. That's why if you listen to a lot of, I'm saying this for an example, but please, it's not to condemn them. But if you listen to TV preachers, they like to testify of who? Themselves. Yep. Love it. Love to testify of their works. And they have no works. Their works are the works of darkness. But they think they're the works of light. The amazing part to me is even when we're immature in the Word of God, like we were early on in our pursuit of God, it's easy to be deceived by that word. Because, man, it looks good, sounds good, feels good, tastes good, and has all the manifestations of flesh. And so it makes the flesh feel really good. That should be the first thing in our mind that we say, oh, if it's making my flesh feel this good, I know it's not the Word of God. What's that? Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, wow. And these things are beginning to be revealed to the Lord for wonderful reasons. I mean, we're coming to a time, folks, when God is going to do some very special things, and I don't want anyone to miss it. No one. I don't want anybody to miss it. Let's give ourselves to it, shall we? Let me go on. But unto the Son he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have looked. So when it came to David then, what did he tell David? Yeah, he told David that the throne of David would never be left without a righteous man. That's why Jesus was on the scene, is to fulfill the prophecy that God spoke to David. Isn't that awesome? You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above your fellows. And you, Lord, in the beginning have laid the foundation of the earth. And you, Jesus, in the beginning have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They shall perish, but you shall remain. So will the works perish? What are the works? What's he talking about here? Why will the works perish? Say it again. New heaven, new earth. So what changed? God changed? No. You are the works of his hands. Your salvation is the works of his hands. Right on. Because now you've been taken away, and you perished. Who's left? Jesus. Jesus is left. Wow. Now let me read it again for you. And you, Lord, in the beginning, have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand. They shall perish, but you remain. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall you fold them up. They shall be changed. There it is. But you are the same, and your years shall not fail. So who's the works? I am. I've been changed in the blinking of an eye. I have been changed. I've been translated, transformed by the renewing of my mind, so that now I and Jesus are one. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make my enemies, or your enemies, my footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Are you an heir of salvation? You're an heir of salvation, and who's going to come get you? Your angel. Now, I'm going to go to John 17. I have given them my word. So Jesus did what? What did he give you? His word. Yep, he gave you his word, made you a disciple. How did you become a disciple? By the word of his power. That's what created you to be a disciple. And the world hates them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. Oh. So what is it that, why does he not want to take me out of the world? What does he want me to learn here? He wants to teach me how to overcome evil, so that I will never, ever fall again. That's awesome, isn't it? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. How come we're not of the world? Because we are of Jesus. We believe in Jesus. Sanctify them through the truth. My word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake. So now, if I'm sent into the world with the word of God, what am I? I'm a ministering spirit. I'm an angel. I know who I am. I know the love of the Father. Right? Because in charity, it's to know who I am as the Father knows me. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So how is Jesus cleansed? By his word. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Yep. He says, I sanctify myself with the same word, right? Same word that cleanses or sanctifies the Lord, sanctifies me and you. Same word. It's awesome. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. So the word that he has put in me, when I speak it, what happens? Huh? Yeah. Now all of a sudden we're creating believing through the word of God, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. What world? This one out here, or the one within? This one, it testifies to this world. Some great things are being done in us, aren't they? And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. See, now, in our mind that is so incapable of understanding glory, right? Especially God's glory. Our mind's not capable of understanding it. But when we begin to understand the Word that we are in Him and begin to see ourselves as that Word because we see Him as the glory of the Father, we see the marvelousness, I guess that's a word, or we see the how wonderful the Word of God is or how great the Word of God is, and that same Word is now in us, we can now behold Him in all of His glory. The glory that He had with the Father is now in us. We are one with that same glory. And man, when the we could go into the book of Revelation tonight and go into chapter 3 when it begins, when the angels on the throne and the 24 elders begin to worship the Lord and the power of that glory arises and is revealed and made known. It takes me to a different place in the things of God. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them that they may be one, even as we are one. So can I be a part, can I be one with God without the glory of God? So is there some glory that we need to understand here in and of ourselves? There is. Do we need to understand the glorious nature of the Word of God? Do we need to understand the glorious nature of Jesus Christ? Do we need to know and understand the glorious nature of God that we might be one? Wow. I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect. Be made what? Unto a perfect man. Ephesians chapter 5. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as you love me. Whew. Okay, I'm not going to finish that. You guys can go finish that because I've got to go to this one and read it. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'm now in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He led sin captive, right? What was it that kept you in bondage or kept you captive? Sin. And so when he took the sin out of the world, led sin captive, now he could send the Holy Ghost and gift you by the Word of God. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Listen now. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is you. That's what the Word of God is doing in you today. So the transforming power that God has put in the Word for you to make you into the body of Christ is more glorious than you will know or understand. Amen.